We move on to discuss different types of sveikas. That would be no gear things in a street. But remember, we've already explained that this din of the Suffolk Tumah versus Rabim and Suffolk Tumah versus Hayochid is only where the issue that we need to worry about is merely even Suffolk. And when I say an even Suffolk, we said that would be true if there's a Sveik Sveika as well. It doesn't matter how many Sveik Sveikas, would still have the same din that's defined by the Rishus. But if what's defined is not by the Rishus, but what's defined is by the likelihood of a certain event occurring, now, in that case, we certainly have to take into consideration the elements of Rov and Chazaka and so on, and that would take precedence over a simple case where all we need to worry about is where it happened. Okay, so this is Perek Zion Mishnah Aleph, and let's take our first example of this type of thing. So you've got a Kadar, not referring to the one whose first name was Harry, but he's just a plain Kadar, and he's a guy who's a potter, and he is Meniach et Kederotav, so he puts down these pots because he got thirsty. He puts them down at the side of the road, and he goes down. There's a little stream at the, down at the bottom of the cliff. He goes down to take a drink, Yarad Lishtot. Meanwhile, he doesn't really know what happened to his pots. Now, his pots were basically right along the place where people walk. Remember, as we've seen many times, that the norm in those days was that you had these posts. I've pointed out to you, it's exactly like this in the old city here in Yerushalayim. There's no real sidewalk, but you've got these poles that prevent, or at least might try to prevent, the cars running you over and squishing you against the wall because they don't want to get their fenders bent. They don't care about crushing you against the wall, but they keep away from the wall because there's posts there. So over here, this guy takes those Tzidei, and he puts his pots down, and there's people that are walking by, and the people who are walking by could easily have come into contact with those pots. And, especially if there's a lot of traffic and so on, people always squeeze to the side of the road. So he left them. He left his pots there. So the din is that the ones that are all the way up against the wall, the pnimiot, those are not places that you have to worry about. But about what? What's our problem? Well, we've got a very serious problem, because if we're talking about the pots that belong, or they have a heksher because they're coming from a chover, and that means that they're allowed to be used for tyrus, even by people who are makbid on tyrus. And now this guy left them unwatched for a moment. So what happens? Do his pots all become tamei? Why would they become tamei? Well, remember that we have a very, very meaningful takana about big day am ha'aretz that we discussed earlier. And that is that big day am ha'aretz, because of the likelihood that unless someone is fully conscious all the time of what is going on in his home, the likelihood is that somehow or other, his wife, who was Anita, at one point sat down on some of this stuff. She did the laundry, put it down on the couch, sat down on the couch. I mean, it's almost impossible for someone who isn't aware about these things and isn't thinking about them to really be able to tell you that the clothes that he's wearing are tahor. So therefore, we have the standing gezeira, which is big day am ha'aretz, are considered to be midras. Wow, that's very chomer. So it's as if a zov had sat on them, or lied on them, or nida had sat on them. Then they are tmeim for people who have to assume the worst, the chaverim or makban on tumah. So let's imagine a case. A guy is walking along, and am ha'aretz is walking along. He's wearing his coat. There's a lot of traffic. He's pushed to the side. He's walking past these pots. Now, these pots are not going to become tummy by contact from the outside, but because they're pots that are made out of pottery, and therefore they're only kabbal tuma from their inside, but this guy is walking along and his coat, is flopping behind him. I mean, it's possible that the coat flopped into the top of the pot, and therefore it was mitame the pot. And this chover now still assumed that his pots are tahor. So those pots, which were on the outside, meaning they were next to the street part, where it's actually very possible that they were affected by the Bigdei Am Haaretz, they have to be assumed to be Tameyot. But the Pnimiot, what's the chances of a guy, I mean, how would he push himself all the way in so that his coat is going to fall into one of the pots? That's very unlikely. And therefore, the ones that are Pnimiot are Tahorot. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, wait a minute. The only time that we say that the pots on the outside, now this is true according to everybody, but the Rambam reverses it. But we'll take this approach. When do we say that the outside pots are tameh because you have to be choshesh that the Am Haaretz's coat fell in there? That's only where these coats were not tied together. Now, what? Now, obviously, that means that he is not worried about the fact that somebody's coats fell into it, because it makes absolutely no difference if they were tied together or they were not tied together. The only difference, I mean, people do tie together things that they don't want stolen, right? You see that oftentimes on the street. So you've got like a bunch of chairs that were delivered somewhere. They put a chain through them, you know. So a guy can't walk off with one of the chairs without carrying 30 of them. Nobody's going to walk off with 30 of them. Okay. So in this case, says Rabbi Yossi, my concern is not about the begotim of an Am Haaretz, because the begotim of it would mean it would have to fall into the pot. I don't think that's how the Gemara understands it. I don't believe that that's really the chashash. The chashash is that, not that we have an Am Haaretz, but that we actually have someone who was really tameh. He might have been himself, a zov, or a woman, who's a nida, was walking by, and actually moved one of these pots, bumped into it, moved it. Now that's something else. That's tumat hesed, which would affect the pot from the outside. So if the pots are all loose, I mean, a pot is very easily moved. But if they're all tied together in such a way that you need to move the whole lot of them in order to be able to move one, so then I say, what's the chance that somebody actually moved one of those pots? If they're loose, well, it's very easy to move a pot. Therefore, I say the only consideration here is not where it's placed, but rather whether it's tied together or not. So if they were mutarot and they were individual pots, so then I would say, yes, there you have to worry that the ones next to the road, they were possibly moved. Somebody moved by, pushed against it, and what else? And I'm not concerned with big day amorites. I'm concerned with an actual zov or anida. But if they were agudot, then I say they're all tar, because it's almost impossible to move him without actually going out of your way to move him. Why would he go out of his way to move him? Look, I mean, the same halacha would be true. Let's say you give the keys to your home to an Am Haaretz, right? Now, so what are you going to say? Oh, so maybe everything in your house is tameh, because maybe he went into your house. But why the heck would he go into your house when you gave him that key? So Amoser Maftecho L'Am Haaretz. The whole contents of the house is Tahor. Because obviously you didn't give him the key to go in. You asked him, will you keep your eyes on this key for me, please? I'm going to the mikvah. Whatever. So for him to use that request to watch your key and then go into your house, Lo Masalo Ela Shemir Ma'at HaMafteach. We're not choshesh that people do things like that. They do something on purpose, which if they do, so that they're looked at as a ganav. I mean, what are you touching these pots for, you idiot? Get your hands off the guy's pot. The same thing would be true over here. You'd have to go out of your way to do something wrong. That is not something that we're chayish for. And therefore, this can be seen as relating even to what Rabbi Yossi Paskin, because of the way that he's choshesh. And therefore, all that counts is, how much would you have to go out of your way in order to make something tameh? Okay, gentlemen, that's a lovely beginning that we've had here to the seventh parak. Bezrat Hashem, we shall be able to be zeichet, to be kine more Torah tomorrow, and have more to celebrate. Bezrat Hashem. Omi besurot tovot miyom liyom. Amen. Kol tov.